Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Well, I didn't think you had it in you.
I'm your huckleberry.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Why, Johnny Ringo. Like somebody just walked over your grave.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
What's up with you, Holiday?
I beg to differ, sir. We started a game we never got to finish. Play for blood, remember?
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
I was just fooling about.
I wasn't.
The Fan.
Let's do this final hour, Dirt and Sprague, on a Tuesday. Thanks for being with us on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Hope your Tuesdays are going well. Got a lot to get to. Mail sack coming up 10 minutes from now. Get your questions in. Got some good ones rolling in today on Twitter and on the text line, 503-250-1080.
Let's get it. We got Stuart Mandel tomorrow, by the way.
Which I'm fired up for. It's going to be a good one. I want to start the final hour here, though. How many sports do we care if an athlete takes steroids? And follow-up question, is golf one of those sports?
Golf for me is not, because I'm not entirely sure the best player in golf didn't gain like 35 pounds doing a regiment outside of just training with Navy SEALs. It's part of the breakdown.
Speaking of Tiger Woods, back in the day.
I did not name names, so you can fill in the blanks if you want. But
I don't want to be sued.
He went from my body type to like Sukanik, and that's not entirely normal for people that are kind of tall, gangly, geeky looking guys.
Come on, why can't anybody believe in hard work anymore?
I did see an absolute asinine, ridiculous article suggesting without any shred of evidence that DeChambeau might be juicing. And I love that 10 years later, we're still trying to get this narrative that if a guy gets bigger or changes, it's automatically steroids. Mm-hmm. But to be honest with you, the only sport I would care about, and I don't even know if I would care, I just think the biggest backlash for any sport with steroid use would probably be the NBA, because they already deal with the modern day player is not as somehow as talented or athletic as the 90s and 80s players.
Okay.
They find all these Jordan and 80s basketball stands that, you know, maintain that the best basketball ever played was when they were old enough to watch it or in that, you know, that prime age. Uh-huh. It's funny because they love to just absolutely crap on nowadays players and how they don't hold a candle to the modern player back then. You add steroid use, like imagine what the sports world is like if LeBron James tests positive for PEDs or steroids. He will never, in any conversation, he already won't be, but he will never have any chance, no matter what he does,
interesting,
to ever be held in the regard of Michael Jordan, maybe a Magic, maybe a Kareem, if he tests positive. I know it hasn't happened much. I do think they use PEDs in the NBA and they just kind of allow it.
Sure.
Like HGH type stuff to get over injuries and get on the court quicker. And I'm okay with it. But I think of all the sports, it'd be that one.
Interesting. I didn't see you bringing that one up. What about you, Swigard?
I think golf, if we were to find, I know the rumors have been out there for a number of years, but golf, the sport itself, is so fundamentally based on guys adhering to the rules themselves, calling penalties on themselves, you know, that the rules of golf. Now, it's taken them a long time to evolve. They had all those rule changes a few years ago to kind of bring golf into the, well, semi-modern times. But yeah, if there were guys that were flat out, and trust me, the PGA will look the other way more than any. They protect their players more than any other sport. And I wish there was a bit more transparency as to what is going on at any given time. Guys disappear for 3 or 6 months. Oh, yeah, like, where'd he go? Right. So unless the player comes out and explains,
yeah,
you don't necessarily know. Football, I honestly don't care. That sport, just for those guys to get on the field every Sunday, it's gladiatorial. And as you just like, no, just suit up Sunday. I don't care what you have to do.
Yeah, I think football is probably the one we care the least about.
We don't care at all.
It's a blip on the radar. You get suspended for a couple of games and then people forget about it.
What you have to do, what you subject your body to play that sport.
Do what you need to do.
I don't care.
So the reason I asked this question was you mentioned the article that was written, but also there was a tweet that came out from Brooks Koepka today.
Well, this was funny.
Brooks Koepka tweeted at 11:58 this morning a GIF of Kenny Powers from the show Eastbound and Down. And the caption on the video reads, Kenny Powers confronts steroid allegations and he's attacking a cameraman. Yeah. So if you're
wondering, DeChambeau is yelling at a cameraman.
Right, DeChambeau, who got big and large over quarantine and is now hitting, he set the all-time record for drives, driving distance in a tournament. He broke Tiger's record that lasted 15 years. He averaged 350 yards per drive. Tiger's record was, I think, 341 and some change or something like that. So he is, according to some, revolutionizing the way that golf is being played and overpowering holes where it doesn't matter if you're hitting fairways or not. Length is completely out of play in terms of being a challenging aspect for him as a player. So Brooks Koepka tweeting that did make me wonder, how would we react if that was to happen, that it came out in like 2 weeks that DeChambeau tested positive for steroids?
This is the thing. I think what we learned and we took away from the steroid era, at least I did, I just don't know if as many people who claim to care about cheating would care. You know, is it a good look? No. But golf is such a finesse game that, yeah, driving at 350, obviously it's a benefit. I saw him drive at 376.
Right. You still got to have a short game. You still got to be able to putt. You got to read
chip,
a green.
Putt, yeah. Read it. You got to do all those other things right. So, yeah, his power has been helped if it was an alleged thing, connection there. But to me, it goes much more deeper than that in golf. Whereas even in baseball, yeah, the steroids help the ball go quicker and probably help the fast twitch muscles move a little quicker with reaction to baseballs. But I just don't know if there's as big a reaction to it as there was when the baseball steroid thing went on. I think largely as a society, we love to bitch and moan about stuff, but we really just don't care all that much. Right? It's why people say nasty things on camera, on phones. It's because they just don't care. They're going to record me. I don't care. And then sometimes they lose their job. And other times we just kind of move on and go, well, we didn't really nail Bob from backwoods Tennessee, but we'll move on with our lives. So I don't know if there is a sport that would really get people to dive in, which is why I go NBA. It's out of the box. They haven't dealt with that. Yeah. They dealt with a coke problem and nobody talked about it back in the 80s and the 70s. But people, I think, would react to big-time athletes in the NBA taking them.
It would be totally out of left field. Rashard Lewis is kind of the only name that comes to my mind of a positive PE test, PED test.
O.J. Mayo.
O.J. Mayo.
He got banned from the league.
That's right. He did it a couple times, didn't he?
You're talking about a guy that was perceived to be one of the next LeBron James, and he ended up getting banned from the league for PED use.
Like, oh, that took an interesting turn.
Yeah, I think there's two things. Like, stuff, I mean, you go back to cycling and what happened with Lance, and they say it's not steroids. They were doing blood doping.
Yeah.
And so I think if things are like the HGH and what is used to recover.
Let that be legal.
I've always thought, let's find a way to get with league and team doctors to come up with, rather than banning stuff, say, this is approved, and here's the science behind it, and jointly work between players' associations and the leagues, and then a third party, the Mayo Clinic or Cedars-Sinai or whatever medical university that's doing groundbreaking work in something. let's find the things that we know are safe and are going to work. I know the leagues are worried about getting sued if something happens down the road. But I'd rather see them work together for finding solutions to the issues that they have rather than it being adversarial and banning everything. And if you test positive for a test, which indicates that it's not for the substance itself, but it's an indicator of a body function or a masking agent or something like that, and it's so tenuous, I think they've gone about it the entirely wrong way.
Well, people can take HGH. They can get that, right? Aren't I right on that? Can't people get prescriptions and do HGH?
Like the normal people?
Well, yeah, it's normal available. People. Yeah, I mean, they use it for, you know, whatever.
Yeah, there's steroids and HGH sorts. All over the place. Yeah,
steroids for dealing with whatever ails average humans.
I mean, if you think like big action star movie heroes are getting that big just from lifting weights every day, I got some beachfront property in Idaho to sell you.
Do we put asterisk by movies for guys to
Fast and Furious got two asterisks. Dude, two with asterisk, Vin Diesel, man. And The Rock.
Not buying
it. And this brings in the question of that, is sports just entertainment or is there something more integral and fundamental to sport being, quote, fair, that still exists, that maybe it was there at the very beginning, but
I don't think it's an either or. I think it's a combination.
Left the barn a long time ago.
Yeah, I think it's a combination of, fundamentally, you're hoping that when you play and you're not doing something that everybody else playing is on the same level as you, and then the only thing that separates you from that person is probably the skill set.
Skill and how much work and time and effort and preparation that you've put into developing yourself or your team.
It is entertaining, and we pointed this out before, but like the home run chase in 98 and then like what we were last year.
Well, think about
it's not coincidence that home runs are the ones that are sticking out the most for fans, right?
Think about it right now. The only reason we're trying to force these restarts of these leagues is show the owners and the programmers don't lose billions of dollars under these mega TV deals.
Yeah.
That's the whole drive behind it. So if it wasn't about the entertainment value number one, and it was strictly about health and safety and all that.
Yeah, of course, you wouldn't be playing.
A conversation.
Yeah, you'd be waiting until 2021 at the earliest to even think about bringing sports back. So, Brooks Koepka sent out a tweet today of a Kenny Powers gif of him confronting steroid allegations and attacking a cameraman, making a thinly veiled shot at Bryson DeChambeau, throwing a little gasoline on that fire, who won over the weekend and attacked a cameraman in the process of doing it. And he is much larger than he was pre-COVID. We got a poll question on that. You can go vote at Thurton Sprague, at 1080 The Fan. Do you care if golfers take steroids? We'll update that coming up at the end of the show. Let's get to the mail sack. Your questions are welcome. 503-250-1080. Send them in, sports or non-sports related. We'll get to them coming up next on The Fan. Hey, we got some Carmelo Anthony comments we got to get to.
Oh, hello.
He's feeling good, baby. Feeling good. Get to that coming up in the final 40 minutes of the show. But it's 2:15, slightly after 2:15 on a Tuesday. That means it's time for the mail sack.
Mail sack.
503-250-1080, send them in. We'll start with a couple of Twitter mail sack questions because we get those as well.
All right.
This one's from Justin. Mail sack, do you guys think or know if Swag is going to interview for the job Calabro just vacated?
Well, interview, you got to be contacted for an interview there, Justin. For the record, and I've said this publicly, I don't know why he wouldn't apply. I don't know where he's at in organizing a demo tape, resume references, and all that crap. But
I have not done television.
I don't think that's important, man. You're in the camera.
You got a sweet head of hair. Yeah. You got a good face. You could grow a mustache. You'd look good, man.
Dude, you're in front of the camera like four times the really entire game.
And how many people actually watch the pregame show?
Almost nobody.
Right? That's the only time you ever see him.
Yeah. And it's mainly like Jason Swigard and Lamar, what are the keys to the game?
Let me tell you, the keys to the game are you got to play defense.
They cut to highlight package.
Look, if I can stay as enthusiastic as I did the last couple of pilot seasons, then I have no doubt about that.
If you get that job, they could be the worst team in the league. Yeah. You're going to go home and you're going to the spank bank and you're happy. You're putting in your 2 weeks. You're going to be ecstatic if that happens. You're applying, right?
Put your hat in the ring. Come on, Swigard.
I got to figure out what they're doing.
You need to get
it's really always interesting kind of if it's a if they already know what they want to do.
Yeah, they might. Well, when they fired Barrett and Rice, they knew they were going to hire Calabro.
They already knew what they were doing. So,
and I don't think this. I think this one caught them off guard a little bit. I think they were prepared.
Caught them off guard. Obviously, they're just trying to get through whatever is left
in Orlando. Yeah,
because Jordan Kent is going to do it with Lamar.
Big tryout for him.
And then I saw something that Travis and Coach Holton, they're going to be in. They're going to do the radio from Moda Center in their regular spot, watching it on the big screen.
Really?
Yeah.
That's actually kind of cool.
Interesting.
An empty Moda Center with just watching the Jumbotron with just you two?
We've done a show in an empty Moda Center before.
Okay, that one sucked. It was different, but that
interesting
sucked.
With the echo.
Yeah. No, but seriously, are you going? You're going to apply, right?
I'm going to look and see what's going on. Okay. I will put out whatever feelers I have at this point to see what's all entailed. If they're looking for somebody that's been in the NBA and has done television in an NBA market, then I may not have the requisite.
Well, just don't big time us when you get the job, all right?
Oh, God, no.
Let us come hang out courtside. Okay, speaking of big timing, if you're making, this is another mail sack from Twitter, if you're making Patrick Mahomes money, what's the first bleep you purchase? Can't be necessities like a house or paying student loans. A screw you, I'm rich, and now everyone knows it. Purchase after signing your Mahomes deal.
I'm rich and everyone... I don't know that I'm going to rub it in anyone's faces, but the first...
You don't have to rub it in. Just what's your first non-like house, car, student loan payment kind of thing? Like the... Right,
he doesn't have student loans.
I know, but I think it's almost like a lottery kind of thing. If you just you're given a $500 million contract, the first thing you're just buying that's totally not necessary.
Probably a full time, if he doesn't have one already, a full time personal chef.
Okay, mine's easy,
which is going to be more difficult for me because I'll probably want to go in there and like learn and like do stuff with that chef.
Yeah, I want to cook. I would just go out to dinner a lot more. Obviously, you can't now, but I'd go out to dinner a lot more at nice restaurants.
Well, when you eliminate cars and houses.
Where can he go in Kansas City and not get
You got to get the back room. You get a special private locale.
I mean, yeah, you're limited to a handful of restaurants that have security and private backdoor entrance and all that stuff.
I was
going
to say, I think he's got a lot of backdoor access where people don't even know he was there. They're like, oh. Patrick was eating at the same restaurant as me. If you're taking away the obvious.
Yeah, house, car, that kind of stuff.
I mean, the biggest FU thing I can think of with a half a billion is buying a private jet.
You go private jet?
You are never worrying about travel again in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but he's probably, see what he would do, and I just saw a tweet, Mickelson just tweeted out, he's got a new deal with a private jet.
I saw his Instagram post.
I would get
an
endorsement with NetJets Wheels Up, something like that.
Well, if you can swing that, then
rather than buying the damn plane and having to worry about it.
Well, but let me tell you, I don't like this question when you eliminate house, car, because I think almost everybody, those are the first purchases. You can try to be funny and creative outside the box,
remember,
but nobody's going there.
I'd buy a golf course.
He's not getting it all at once.
That's coming with the house you buy.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, but I'm gonna buy an entire course.
Especially
to myself.
In Kansas City.
Make it private.
Dude, he could go get my 28 acres and hire somebody to design his own custom course in his backyard.
Again,
that's what I'm doing.
He's not getting it all at once.
Yeah, but when you have that kind of money, it's like a black card. You're going to be allowed to buy whatever you want because they know you're going to be good for it. And if you're not, you're Antoine Walker. You blew $300 million.
But once you...
That's my first.
Yeah, once you've gotten the first...
Or a membership at a guest
house. Installments of the 40 mil plus a year deal.
Is he allowed?
This here, Augusta, hey, it's Andy. You got any memberships on the line?
Is Augusta allow Patrick Mahomes to be a member? Or
I think so. I think
you have to be nominated
like
by
years
a current
ago.
Member.
He's Patrick Mahomes. Who's not going to nominate Patrick Mahomes?
It doesn't
Mahomes?
Matter.
Come on.
Wait, you have to be nominated?
Yeah, you got
to
be nominated.
Yeah, you can't just call up and say, I want in. You have to have a current member bring you up.
I wonder what amount of money it would take though to
get past that,
circumvent that. Like if I was worth $100 billion and I said, here's $1 billion, Augusta,
they're in.
You don't think they're gonna let me circumvent that process?
I think $100 million.
Like if I'm Jeff Bezos, I can show up with like two bills and just drop it in a bag.
I don't think so.
You're lying. So? You're absolutely wrong. You know golf better than me by a galaxy. You're way wrong on this. $100 million could get him a membership. They would not hesitate.
Give me a green jacket.
Does it set a precedent? Sure, but I don't know if all that many billionaires are looking to have that membership.
Okay, let's move on, shall we? Mail sack, now on to the text line. Favorite style of fries, waffle, sweet potato, shoestring, steak, curly, etc.
Sweet potato are really underrated. If it's done well, I gotta go waffle. I like a bigger, thick fry. Curly is really damn good, but I'm gonna lean waffle.
You get into the BBFs?
Yeah.
Big busty fries.
I like my fries BBW.
Boy, since I haven't had fries in I can't remember when. But I'm a crinkle cut guy.
Is that his
crinkle cut?
Was that his like humble brag?
Humble brag, right?
It
there,
kind
yeah.
of was, yeah. wasn't it? You
just pick up
that.
All these pounds. Yeah.
I had put French fries out of my mind. You made me think about them, and now I'm like, I want some fries.
I go curly, man. I'm all about the curlies.
Curlies are good.
I'm a big curly
do
fry guy.
Do you like the short, crispy curlies, or do you like the long dangly, soft curlies?
The long, dangly, soft curlies. Absolutely.
I bet you do.
Hey, yo. Okay, mail sack question. Random kitchen appliance that you use way more and way less than you ever thought you would. That's an interesting question.
The one I use way more than I thought I would is I've got a little automatic juicer that's as simple as all get out. So it's just whatever, lemon, lime, orange, grapefruit, whatever. It's got a little spring-loaded thing, so you just press it down. It starts going. It's got a little spout. Drops right into the cup or bowl or jar. It's awesome.
I would say the one I use the most is the skillet. Now, I'm not proud of that skillet, but I love using a skillet. Mm-hmm. It's great. I can do pancakes and bacon at the same time.
The electric skillet.
Yeah, the electric skillet.
Yes.
Interesting. Okay. We got one of those. We never use it.
And then the one I don't use is probably... It's not the air fryer. It's not a rice cooker. It's not an air fryer, but you can...
Like an Instapot kind of thing?
Yes.
Okay.
We bought an Instapot. We used it like the first week, and it was awesome. The chickens cooked perfectly.
Yeah.
Everything. But we use the rice cooker for the rice, and we use a slow cooker for like dinner meals to be ready when we get home.
Yeah.
We largely don't use my Instapot. It's just taking up space in my cupboard.
I'm the same way with the Instapot. She really wanted one, and she put it on the registry for the bridal shower, and we got one.
Yeah.
And we use it a couple of times initially. It's like too much for me. Like I like actually cooking my food instead of just putting it in a thing and saying like, you know, fry for 8 minutes or however long. I like actually cooking, and we have not used it in a couple of weeks now.
Yeah.
I haven't had a toaster for years. Not just when I start out.
I'm not a toast.
Toaster for years.
Yeah, toaster's a good one. I don't use the toaster a lot.
I have a 4-thing toaster that I need to get rid of because it's half broken now. I'm a toaster guy, though.
You like toast?
I do like toast.
Big toast, bro?
Yeah, my girls like toast. I like toasted sandwiches.
Let's get one more quick one in here before we got to go. Mail sack question is, do you guys get free Slurpees from 7-Eleven on 7-Eleven, which is in 4 days?
Do we?
Yeah.
No, I'm not. I can't remember the last time I had a Slurpee.
I mean, I encourage it. I support it. And I love that people do it. And it's pretty cool that they recognize the day. I haven't done it in 5 or 6 years.
I haven't either. I will say Slurpees are one of those things where you get... once in a blue moon, and then you get them, you're like, that's right, Slurpees are delicious.
I mean, there's not a better Slurpee combo than the cherry and the Coke.
Now, do you go graveyard Slurpee, or
no.
do you go one flavor?
Cherry? No, I go two. I go cherry on the
Coke,
bottom.
You mix them together.
Coke on the top. Okay. It's a nice cherry Coke slushy. It's perfect.
All right, we got some more mail sack questions to get to. Keep firing them away. 503-250-1080. We'll continue on the other side. Also, Carmelo Anthony talking about returning his role and the excitement about playing with one player in particular. We'll get to that coming up as well. Hey, 2:33. Welcome back in. Looks like the sun's starting to come out a little bit, hopefully. I'm going to try and mow the lawn today. We're in the middle of the mail sack. We'll get to some of Carmelo Anthony comments here in a moment.
I couldn't let you take the segment into mowing the lawn. I was like, don't say anything.
What? Come on.
I don't mow my lawn. I don't have a lawn.
Yeah, I know. I like having a lawn to mow.
I mean, I want a backyard one day like yours. You got a pretty good sized backyard, but
yeah, I got a decent yard over there.
Yeah, I'm just doing weeds once in a while.
Yeah, pulling weeds. Pulling weeds is the worst part about having a lawn.
Well, we just
that's no fun. You can't look. I mean, it's nice to at least look out when you're done pulling the weeds to like have that rewarding feeling of no weeds being out there, but not the same feeling as having a fresh cut mow and then drinking a beer right afterwards.
We just disbanded our HOA.
Oh, you did? That's big news.
Basically, all the members were dying out. Like,
oh, the olds were literally dropping.
Okay. Yeah, they were posting signs, hey, if you want to be involved, email this lady, like a ton of them.
Yeah.
And then I guess we broke away from the corporation that was doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And now I feel like a renegade. I kind of want to put my basketball hoop up. I'm leaving stuff in the front.
Hell yeah.
I'm like, dude, great. Now I'm living my life. And the wife was like, what about the HOA? I'm like, there is no HOA.
It doesn't exist anymore. It's non-existent.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to get us in trouble.
Till we get a heads up on that, I might be living like a rebel.
Let it fly, man. Let it fly. All right, let's get to a couple more mail sack questions as we empty the bag out here on a Tuesday. This is a pretty good one. What's one thing, mail sack question, what's one thing you could easily save money on consistently by simply taking a few simple steps, but pay the extra money out of convenience? Does that make sense?
Say it one more time.
So if you were to take a few simple steps, like put a little more work in, you could save money, but you don't save the money because you don't want to put the extra steps in, hence you pay more for convenience. This one, in normal times, non-COVID times.
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
In non-COVID times, it's a big one for us is eating out. Now, I've changed my stance on it because you want to support local restaurants and for them to be okay. But if I take myself back to a mind frame of like February, like that stuff adds up. If you go out to eat, and people do it sometimes because I used to eat out a ton for lunch. Like you'd just be too lazy to bring leftovers or pack something. So you go walk or pick something up on the way. Like that adds up to like 30, 40, 50 bucks a week in a hurry. And if you're going out to dinner like twice a week, that's, and instead of just going and buying a bulk of groceries and cooking more often, you save far more money putting the extra time in to prepare for meals than you do going out a couple of times. But my stance has shifted because I want to support local restaurants.
Probably my bang addiction.
Your bang addiction?
I buy a bang almost every day.
Yeah.
Got to be honest with you. They help me feel good for the show.
Get you in a good mood.
They put me in a good spot. Eating out's an underrated one. And I would say largely we're pretty cheap family in general. Like we have to go purchase a car now. Our oldest car is kind of hitting the... It's dying.
Yeah, it's towards its final legs.
Yeah, we've had it for a decade, and we're kind of thinking about buying a car. And we're, like, mentally freaking out about what the car payment's going to be. Not that we can't afford it, but just that's kind of what we are as a family. Like, oh, great, $400 bill. I would say the only thing we do that puts us in a situation where we could save more and we don't is eating out.
Yeah.
And my kids are starting to get older now, so it's like each of them want their own meal instead of, like, just getting one thing and them splitting it. The 8-year-old wants to eat a double cheeseburger with fries.
Right, right.
The 4-year-old wants to eat her own chicken nuggets with a small fry or whatever we end up getting. But we still buy groceries. That's also the crux of the situation. We buy groceries and then we just get lazy by 6:30. We're like,
eh, I don't want to cook tonight.
Yeah.
We do that a lot too, where we'll go buy groceries and then I'll forget that we have stuff. I'm terrible at that.
You don't look well enough,
because
you don't
plan it out where you'd be like, all right, what do we want tonight? Oh, okay, I'll make this. You kind of throw something together last minute. And you forget that, like, we need to plan this out so we make sure we cook all this stuff. Like, we waste way too much food.
But I also think planning out weeks worth of meals, it doesn't hold, because we tried this years ago.
Yeah,
we'd be like,
true,
Monday's spaghetti night, Tuesday's Taco Tuesday, Wednesday is chicken teriyaki. And by Wednesday, you're like, I don't really feel like chicken teriyaki. And now you've bypassed your chicken teriyaki day, which means you didn't use your chicken or your teriyaki.
Very true. You got any of these, Swigard? Anything you can save money on?
Oh, and golf.
Yeah.
Dude, I've kind of thought about it, and like golfing with Swigard was great. But like you add it up, you're like 30 to 40 around, and you're like, I played six rounds this month.
it adds up.
It's a very expensive sport.
Yeah.
I don't think I have anything, you know, like I said, the food-wise, even before I started in on the diet and COVID and all that sort of stuff, I mean, I love to cook so much, but I would think it's like, all right, let's, especially when I started, you know, when we get into seasons and I got play-by-play and I got all that stuff too, I had to think as like, all right, because I knew if I just kept grabbing something here or there, one, it's not as healthy, and two, it does add up. Mm-hmm. And so yeah, I kind of went to the bulk cooking. Probably if I really wanted to do the time and effort in some stuff, getting my TV internet package down.
Yeah.
But
to the most affordable packaging.
Yeah. And if I, you know, figured out how to place, you know, where to place the modem and all that sort of stuff. But I'm just like, no, I want the channels.
Wait, what?
That's a good one, yeah.
You could get your modem situated perfectly. You just call your provider up. Is it Comcast?
Yeah.
That's a really good one, though, for me, too, because you can easily do it for more affordable, but the convenience of having cable, it's just like, whatever, you turn the TV on, you just flip channel to channel.
If I really wanted to shop it and get things organized and all that. But I just, no, there's, these are the channels I want. This,
I got it. I know where the channels are. I'm not finding new
apps.
Then
you get the bill. Like, it's like, why am I paying all this? And it's like,
you go through it every
month. Then you try and do some work. Yeah.
That's a good one. Okay, let's go. We got three more here. Mail sack, would you rather have no college football season or have a season, but your favorite team's rival beats you and wins the national championship?
That would be problematic for the show. I'm just going to go out there right now and say that. I'd rather have a season. Does it suck that your rival wins the title? Absolutely. It would be decades upon decades of bragging rights that I'd never be able to respond to.
Yeah.
But give me college football every single time.
I'm willing to take that risk.
But your rival already has a title.
Well, not really. I mean, and win a national championship. Claimed.
Look, if the shoe was on the other foot,
I'm just saying it's a little
you would have a title, right?
Sure, yeah, I'm sure Oregon has one from like 1964 too. You know, yeah, we were the champs that year. We won it.
Always give me college football. I know sometimes we talk about the COVID college football. So I hope you don't think we don't want. I absolutely want college football.
Desperately want sports.
As bad
to come
as
back.
Anybody listening.
Okay, two more here. This was asked of me, but I will expand it to the entire group to answer.
Yeah, because swag and me don't matter.
Well, it's a golf-related question, but I think this pertains to everybody.
Yeah, we don't
golf. And I'm going to restructure the question. So it was asked, I take 5 strokes off your game, but you can't drink on the course again. Do you take the deal?
Yes.
Yes.
Really? For 5 strokes off?
Yeah.
Dirt, that would...
Oh, no. You never have a beer golf in the rest of your life?
Oh, it's only 5 in the future, but I don't go up any more than that.
And that's why I was going to revise the question of what number would it have to get to say you can never drink during a golf round again. Because okay. 5 strokes, I mean, what, you're shooting a good round for you is mid-80s? So if I tell you a good round is going to be 80 and you can never drink again?
No, I don't know.
Dude, shooting an 80 consistently with...
It'd be good.
But how much... Okay, minus like a bachelor weekend or a weekend that you don't care about the golf as much as you just want to get out with your bros, wouldn't you get more enjoyment than shooting an 80 on a consistent basis than having 2 to 3 beers?
Yeah, but I want the opportunity. If you took 5 strokes, if you took 5 strokes off my game, I'd be a consistent like upper 70s player.
That's pretty damn good,
which would be
dude.
Damn good, but I'm not willing to sacrifice that because I can shoot in the high 70s from time to time.
Yeah.
But I want the ability. Now, I don't like get hammered every time I play golf, but just having the ability to like play on a Saturday and crack a couple of cold ones while you're playing, I like that.
No, if I was...
If you get me to like scratch, then I'm listening.
If I was a single handicap somewhere, 6-7, and I wasn't drinking on the course, fine. Then I'm, you know, I'll be at the 19th hole. I'm not...
Yeah,
I'm
you get beers afterwards.
Worried about that.
Yeah,
I'm so desperate to get into the 80s on a consistent basis. I'm probably considering this because I would say since I've gotten into golf, I'm not really drinking. I used to drink 3 to 4, and now I'm just taking like 1 Colorado Kool-Aid. It's like if I'm having 4 bad holes in a row, I go, well, okay, I'll relax a little bit and drink.
Crack it, yeah.
Yeah, I crack it, and honestly, it really does help. But man. You get me to the 80s.
You're
if
to
I'm consistently shooting like an 86, I'm pretty happy.
You're like Kramer. I'll take it. All right, last one. You inherit a sweet beach house from your long-lost uncle. Do you sell it right away for quick money or rent it out for more money in the long run?
Oh, you never sell property.
No, I'm using that bad boy.
Never sell property.
When I'm not using it, yeah.
No. Zero chance.
No brainer. There you go. Mail sack. We extended it this week.
Let me just say this, too. When I bought a house in Beaverton, I bought right before the boom. We instantly got like $100,000 equity, like within a year and a half. It was insane. There was no chance I was selling that B. You rent it.
Yeah.
You rent it and you make money on that low mortgage payment.
Rent it out, baby. All right. Carmelo Anthony with some comments about playing with Wimblazer in particular and the poll questions. We'll close up there next on The Fam. And some tenderness. We'll walk upon the water. We'll rise above the mist. Well, the let on be. Well, we're getting closer and closer to the NBA returning, hopefully. Knock on wood. And one player that is going to play, remember initially we weren't sure, but he is going to, is Carmelo Anthony of your Portland Trailblazers. He will be there. He will be in Orlando. Now, he did a little Zoom thing with reporters today, it sounds like. I don't know if all of them are doing it, but some of them have. Dame did one, I think, earlier this week. CJ's done one. Carmelo did it today.
Zach's done one.
Yeah, Zach did one as well.
I think they've actually gone through everybody. Maybe not Nurkic, but Zach did one. I think Gary Trent's done one. I've seen a lot of them.
So Melo had some interesting comments. He talked about getting there and turning on the switch and not turning it off. He said they're going to enter the Orlando bubble with a playoff mindset as a team, which it has to be, right? Because they got to make up some ground and make sure you finish in the top nine spots in order to get that potential play-in or get the 8 seed, that kind of stuff, right? So they're going to enter with a playoff mindset. But he also talked about positionally what he's going to play, and some other guys have as well. He said that he was excited to be returning to the three and not be playing as much power forward. And they had this quote about Zach Collins that I saw from our friend Eric Gunderson. He tweeted it out. He said, quote, "Zach in particular, what he brings to the game, I played against him, but I never understood what he brings to the game unless you're out there with him. It's not something that you can grasp." He also said and added that he's very excited to play next to Collins and Nurkic in a bigger lineup. How do we feel about that pairing? Carmelo at the three, Zach Collins at the four, Nurkic at the five, which might end up being your starting lineup.
Well, I hope Zach and Nurk are ready to have to pick up on help defense, because Melo does not care about defense at all. I know he loves to grab rebounds and tell people to get the F out of the way.
I got it.
But he largely is fully invested on the offensive end, and it's kind of what he's been for a lot of his career. Look, I take him at his word, though, and I think that's part of the eight-game return that we're interested in is seeing what both of them look like physically. How many minutes can they truly log? If there's no minutes restriction at all, like both of them have said, how many minutes per game are they going to get? And then what is the defensive impact? I think something that Portland fan will never forget was when they traded for Nurkic, aside from people just going, I guess this was a good trade, we'll see. Mm-hmm. Nurkic immediately made his presence felt in those first 15 or so games or whatever it ended up being. They went from bottom of the league defensively to top 10. If Zach, and this is the big one for Zach, what I'm most interested with Zach is not that he can help on defense. I know he can. I've seen it. He was really kind of underrated pivotal for that Denver series. He didn't get enough of his due there, but he really helped them defensively. Can he stay on the court? He is a guy that in his career has shown that he has a tendency to get into foul trouble early. And just for a young player like that, I feel like that just throws off the rhythm. It puts you in a different mindset. And if he can stay on the court without getting into foul trouble, there's probably a lot to what Carmelo Anthony is saying on this. But, you know, I don't know what these guys are basing it off of. If he's just trying to be optimistic and encouraging as a teammate, or if they really think they're seeing something. Mm-hmm. Because these practices are just four players.
Yeah, it's kind of unique situation,
on separate courts with no coaching. It's a really weird situation right now. So if Melo's on the court and Zach is on another court, Melo can look over and see Zach doing drills, but he's not going against anybody. So to me, this mainly smells just more of Portland trying to talk themselves in that they're a legit contender once they go back to Orlando.
I just don't know who Melo's going to guard at the three on most of the teams that they have left to play.
Yeah, from a quick standpoint, it's not an ideal matchup, because he can body up a little bit and, you know, he's not a good defender, but he's a bigger, you know, kind of lumbering guy if you want to put him at the four. But if you're going to go with a bigger lineup and play him at the three.
If you're playing him at the three, Zach's the most athletic of the bigs, and he's going to have to be the one to get out and fight through pick and rolls. And otherwise, if Melo's really going to play three, if I'm game planning, I said we're going to put him in a pick and roll with a guard and expose them and force Nurk and Zach to hedge completely and then get our shooters on the far side of the floor.
They're slightly smaller, but let me ask you, would you rather start GT or Melo?
Yeah, that was going to be my follow-up question, is how would you feel if you went with a Gary Trent Jr. in the starting lineup? And Melo, I don't care about his feelings at this point. It's an eight-game thing in Orlando. Bring him off the bench as your backup four.
I personally,
play him with Hassan Whiteside potentially in the second unit.
Trent gives you more options. He's still coming into his own. He can still shoot. So, you know, defensively, he's there and can provide you with some more options defensively for Coach Stotts. It's if the Blazers have any chance, it's all going to be on the defensive end with Zach and Nurk in there. One, you know, protecting the paint and boarding, but two, their ability to handle the pick and rolls. Offensively, it's going to be the same for all the teams. Just who comes out hot and who's not rusty shooting threes.
Right.
Yeah, who's the team that's ready to go?
Yeah, I saw those quotes. I thought that's interesting because I don't know how much practice. I don't know. The practice situation is just weird. I don't know how much he's been able to go at him or what the situation has exactly been. But he said it's been eye-opening to see him and to play with him. So that was the quote today from Melo, and he's very excited about playing alongside Zach Collins and Yusuf Nurkic. Thought that was interesting. I wanted to add this before we get to the poll questions today. We didn't talk about it earlier, but kind of a fun, cool note about the whole Patrick Mahomes thing. So according to an article in the USA Today that came out, there is a Chiefs fan by the name of Katie Camlin who broke the news of the contract 90 minutes prior to Adam Schefter. This is really cool. So she apparently, she works at a liquor store in Kansas City.
Yeah.
And her boss at the liquor store called her at roughly 1:21 yesterday. It would have been local time, so obviously it came out a little bit later than that. A bunch of Chiefs employees had come into the store looking to purchase 6 bottles of Dom Perignon champagne. So she sent out the tweet. This was 90 minutes before Schefter, saying, quote, a front office employee for the Chiefs came in, bought six bottles of Dom Perignon. So there's a big signing today. Said it's not Chris Jones. So my guess is it's Mahomes deal.
Mm-hmm.
She then deleted the tweet because she was terrified about getting into trouble with the Kansas City Chiefs.
She was getting so much response and feedback on it. She also said she got nervous, not only with the Chiefs, but just how many people were tweeting her or retweeting her.
Yeah.
I guess it's a different situation to be in if you're on Twitter, but you're only on Twitter for news. You don't care. Then suddenly get picked up and everybody's responding. What's your source? Who the hell are you?
Isn't that crazy?
It could be a really weird shift there dynamically from a social media standpoint. But, you know, look, this stuff happens from time to time. Random people bump into athletes or somebody from the crew comes in and says something. Schefter still got most, if not all, the details.
She tweeted a couple hours later, holy S, I beat Schefter, ha 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 ha, when the news actually broke. She said, I didn't want to lose their business. I was afraid they'd be mad, so I deleted it. But, of course, screenshots are forever. I thought that was a pretty fun story out of the whole thing. They showed up to buy a bunch of fancy champagne and said, we got some big news we got to celebrate today. And it's not a Chris Jones contract, so she connected the dots. Poll questions today. We'll answer them. Where are you at on Anfernee Simons? 42% of you say you're going to give him one more year. 30% say you still think he's going to be really good. 20% are starting to get really nervous, and 7% already labeling him a bust. We talked about that today. And then, do you care if golfers take steroids? 65% of you say no. Not really. 34% of you say yes, you do. There you go. Good little show. If you missed any of it, Les Schwab Tires Podcast, 1080thefan.com is where you can find it. We have Stuart Mandel on the show tomorrow.
2:00.
2:00.
We still need to talk about Deshaun Jackson.
We did not get Deshaun Jackson today.
He used a fake Hitler quote.
Yikes.
And then apologized if it offended people, but didn't apologize for agreeing with Adolf Hitler.
Yikes.
And he's still a part of the Philadelphia Eagles. Why?
Great question, Bob. Great question. Thanks for being a part of our Tuesday, everybody. Number One's next. Talk to you tomorrow at noon. You're listening to 1080 The Fan. Find it.
Spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.